If you enjoy rabbits, you'll love our other podcast, Tanis. Tanis is a docudrama about an ancient and mysterious myth, perhaps the last genuine mystery of the information age. Download the podcast The Guardian calls compelling and wildly addictive at itunes.com/Tanis or tanispodcast.com. Tanis, it's television for your ears.
Ready when you are.
You believe your friend who was playing rabbits?
She started seeing mysterious men in gray.
What did she ask you?
She asked me how many steps to the lighthouse.
What do you know about chaos theory?
The streets were red, then black with blood.
That sounds poetic. Where are you now?
The bottom line isn't money or purpose. It's inspiration.
Are we still going to have sex?
I'm afraid not.
She believed Hazel killed Emily Masters.
Maybe later.
For sure, later. I first heard about the game shortly after my best friend, Yumika Takata, disappeared. I started this podcast because I want to find out what happened to my friend. From the Public Radio Alliance and Minnow Beats Whale, you're listening to Rabbits. I'm Carly Parker. Stay with us. The door is open. How could the name of my independent comic, Priesthood One, created when I was a senior in high school, be an anagram for the door is open? I mean, I understand it is an anagram for the door is open. What I don't understand is how, I guess. It just feels like one hell of a coincidence. But, I have to say, being inside this coincidence, living it, it doesn't feel coincidental. Maybe that's how this stuff works. Enough people experience and report these kinds of strange occurrences, these extremely weird and hard-to-believe coincidences, and that's how we end up with ESP, alpha thinking, reports of people receiving secret messages from aliens, and the rest of it. But I have to say, these things don't feel like cosmic mistakes. Not when you're stuck in the middle of them. They feel almost inevitable. Priesthood One was about art toppling dictatorship. It was about a rebellion, a creative revolution. There's no connection to some weird game on opening phrase of an ancient arcane alternate reality game. That's impossible. It was a coincidence. Nothing more. Wasn't it?
It could be a coincidence, sure.
But you don't believe it is?
No, I don't.
Why not?
That's hard to explain.
How about maybe give it a shot?
Things like your Priesthood One comic or that story referencing Arcadia showing up now, right when they're most relevant. It's almost like you need to be open to seeing the connections. It's kind of like a faith kind of thing, I suppose.
Like a religion thing?
Not exactly. More like strange attractors.
Okay. Jones?
You remember the magician talking about chaos theory and strange attractors?
Yeah, fractals.
Exactly. Strange attractors represent extremely complicated dynamical systems. If you're aware of the properties of the attractor, you can predictably plot the results. But what happens if you believe you're looking at a complicated strange attractor system, but you're unaware of the fractal result, because it's too complex or unknown?
You're using chaos theory to examine or explain rabbits?
Not me, but that's one popular avenue of exploration.
Have there been any concrete results?
Nothing 100% concrete yet, but there are those who believe it's just a matter of time before they figure out exactly what's happening. It's very interesting.
Right. Well, I'm interested in finding you, Miko. That's it.
Well, right.
So what, can we focus on my missing friend for a little while?
Of course.
Thanks. There's an Easter egg protocol you can run with the controls of the Williams video game Stargate.
That was the ROM you found in Yumiko's gym locker?
Yeah. But this version was called Defender 2, but it's essentially Stargate.
Okay, and did you run this Easter egg protocol?
I did, at the Magician's Arcade.
And?
And I found something.
What?
Well, the Stargate Easter egg normally reveals the game's credits. I've done it over a dozen times. My brother showed me when I was just a kid on a machine in a 7-Eleven while we were camping on holiday in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. But this machine was different. There were no credits. But there was an image.
What kind of image?
An image created with pixels.
What was it?
It was Yumiko's face.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Are you sure it wasn't somebody else's?
Pretty sure. It was her.
Okay, was there any other text or anything?
No, just her face.
What about the rest of that ROM? Was there anything different?
Aside from the circle of high scores, there wasn't anything else that I could see. Although, well, there is something.
What?
There were never any Defender 2 arcade cabinets.
What do you mean?
I mean, the title Defender 2 was strictly used for the at-home versions of the game. All of the arcade cabinets were either called Stargate or Defender Stargate.
That's odd.
Yeah. I haven't been able to find anyone who's ever seen a Defender 2 logic board.
And the list of high scores, it was a circle?
Yes.
All of them?
The first six names in the Immortals section. The rest were blank.
Do you think Yumiko had it modified? Turned a Stargate ROM into Defender 2 and had them add a digital portrait of her?
A digital portrait discoverable only by a series of secret controller moves from the early 80s?
Yumiko was into video games, wasn't she?
Well, as a cultural phenomenon, she was kind of obsessed, but she was what we called a tourist when it came to playing.
What do you mean?
Well, she was into gaming when we were kids, but she wasn't much of a player as an adult. Like, in high school, she'd get high and play World of Warcraft for a weekend, SimCity or GTA. And she definitely had a soft spot for the classics like Super Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong. She wrote a story called King Kong vs. Super Mario that was published in Wired. But she didn't have the requisite amount of obsession, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
A player. I mean, a true player, like my brother. There's an obsession there. Something questing, seeking, something behind the eyes. It's always there. Like a question waiting to be answered.
A question like, what happened to Yumiko?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, she couldn't have tampered with that Stargate logic board.
Why not?
Because it was dropped off at the gym after her disappearance.
There was no sign of her there after she went missing?
Well, the guy at the gym told me nobody had seen her.
you believe him?
I did. I do. Yeah.
Okay. Could you email me a screen grab of all that Stargate ROM stuff?
Sure. Will do.
Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Jones.
Yeah.
Thanks for your help.
Don't mention it.
Finding Yumiko's image in that Stargate ROM was surprising. Shocking, actually. But I didn't understand exactly how strange it was until I started looking into the logistics of creating that image. But first, I went back to the gym. I wanted to double-check a couple of things. Hi.
Well, hello again.
Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Yumiko is one of my favorites. There aren't a lot of young women who prefer the mats and the bags to spinning Zumba.
She's cool.
Yeah. What can I do for you?
Well, I just wanted to double-check if there was any chance the logic board that was in Yumiko's things was actually delivered before her disappearance.
What's a logic board?
Oh, sorry. This.
I remember the kid that dropped this off.
You know him?
Comes around here a lot. He's got a lot of shit on his face. Piercings and...
Right. And you remember him dropping this off?
Yeah. Yeah, it was in the accordion file with a post-it note with Yumiko's name on it.
And this was delivered after she disappeared?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Positive. It was garbage day. I was taking it out when the kid rode up and handed it to me.
The logic board.
Right, yeah.
Well, is there any chance that Yumiko came back after that?
No chance.
How do you know for sure?
Security cameras.
And what about them?
The cops watched them all. Said she never came in.
Did the cops check the rest of her stuff, like the logic board?
Sure.
And what did they say?
They didn't seem to think it was anything important.
Right. Well, thanks again for your help.
Here, you can have that back.
Thanks. So, it looks like Yumiko didn't have access to that ROM. At least, not before it was dropped off at the gym. Did she have it modified somewhere earlier? Did somebody who knew her change the ROM without her knowing? I needed to find out how difficult it would be to not only program something like that, but to then install it into the ancient code that ran an arcade game from 1981. It turns out it's almost impossible, but it could be done. I called a local game store. They restore old pinball machines and video games. I stop in every time I walk by to play whatever machines they have running on the sales floor. It's kind of like a rotating arcade, but the games are free. Two brothers run the place, identical twins, Frank and Dave. They're both tall, thinning hair, easy smiles, and they're always wearing some kind of cool vintage t-shirt. Vintage in the way that they bought it in the year it came out, not vintage in a pre-faded and available at Walmart sense. Dave was waiting for me when I arrived. Hi.
You're the girl that plays Robotron.
It's one of my favorites.
Didn't we have to kick you out once because you wouldn't die?
Like I mentioned on the phone, I was wondering how difficult it would be to modify a Stargate logic board.
Can I see it?
Yeah, of course.
And you claim it boots up as Defender 2?
Yeah.
I didn't think Williams released that title to arcades.
Well, that's the rumor. I have a couple of calls into Williams, but I'm beginning to get the sense that there's really nobody left there who has any idea about this era.
Yeah, internet's your best bet.
That's what I thought. So, what do you think?
Well, when it comes to modding these old games, switch a code is pretty easy. Just add in another cabinet, but actually getting in there and adjusting the ROM is complicated.
Right.
Requires some very old and very specialized equipment. Not to mention experience with these things.
Okay, but it's possible.
Sure, I suppose it's possible, but...
Could you do it?
Me, no. No, that's not even close.
Okay.
But I could let you know if anything on that logic board has been altered, if you'd like.
Really?
Sure. Just leave it with me for a couple days.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
So, Dave was looking into that ROM, and I was trying to decide whether or not I should fly up to Alaska to see if I might be able to track down a clue to finding the place known as Arcadia. The place Jones referred to as a station, a kind of repository of clues or something. While I was considering a trip to Alaska, I received an alert on my phone. It was the Breadcrumbs app. When the application originally showed up on my phone, there was a photo in the photo section of the interface. This time, there was something in the video section. It was blurry, and had obviously been taken without the subject of the video's knowledge. Whoever was filming from across the street, through a window, using an extremely sharp zoom lens, probably sitting on a tripod or stabilizer of some kind. On the video, it was Yumiko, at her desk, typing away on her laptop. Here at the Public Radio Alliance, we make a lot of websites, because we need a lot of websites. Well, let's be honest. You already know that Nick and Terry make all the websites, and that they use Squarespace for all of them. It's so easy, and everything is so clean, elegant, and it just works. Because we use Squarespace, our sites look good wherever you happen to be looking at them. Laptops, desktops, or mobile devices. Squarespace is the best. Their incredible award-winning designer templates are the most beautiful way to present your ideas online. Create a beautiful website with Squarespace's all-in-one platform. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade. Ever. If you have a passion that you obsess over, like manipulating a series of strange clues in order to access part of a mysterious ancient game, or selling your own brand of Hellraiser puzzle cubes online, whatever it is that keeps you up at night, that drives you creatively, you need to get it out there. If you need a domain as well, Squarespace offers a unique domain experience that's fully transparent and simple to set up. With Squarespace, you can lock down your next move idea with a unique domain and create a website to launch your idea, a portfolio to get your project out there, an online store to officially open for business, and so much more. So, share your ideas with the world. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code RABBITS to get 10% off your first purchase. That's squarespace.com and use the offer code RABBITS. Squarespace. Make your next move. If you're listening to RABBITS, you probably love podcasts, just like me. I'd like to tell you about a new podcast called Serial Killers. Serial Killers takes a psychological and entertaining approach with the goal of providing a rare glimpse into the mind, methods, and madness of the most notorious serial killers in an effort to better understand their psychological profile. With real audio from the serial killers themselves and the help of voice actors, Serial Killers delves deep into these remarkable lives and stories. Listen now on your favorite podcast directory or by visiting parcast.com/serial. That's spelled parcast.com/serial. Serial Killers features a production team of true crime researchers, screenwriters, voice actors, and sound designers that keep the show entertaining. Check out episodes covering one of the first reported serial killers, H.H. Holmes, the infamous Eileen Wuornos, or Ted Bundy now. Plus, with a new episode coming out every Monday, you can expect episodes on the Zodiac Killer and many more in the near future. Visit iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast directory and search for Serial Killers. Or visit parcast.com/serial to start listening now. That's Parcast, parcast.com/serial to listen now. I knew exactly where the person would have had to have been standing across the street to shoot that video. They would have stood next to the garbage bins, along the side of the three-floor apartment building, across the street. The video was short, about 11 seconds, but it ended with a screen capture. Zoomed in, you could read most of what Yumiko had been typing on her computer. I'm going to read that for you now. I've been finding increasing circumstantial evidence to support the fact that Hazel wasn't responsible for Emily's death due to Hazel pulling her along on a quest to win the game. Emily was a very strong player in her own right. She'd moved ahead and uncovered a big clue of some kind. There are indications that she may have kept that clue to herself. That's what she was looking into at the time of her death. Was this a case of competition? Maybe Hazel didn't want her winning. Maybe she had to die. I found evidence that Hazel had been looking into certain cars' mechanical systems a few weeks before the accident. One of those cars was the exact model responsible for the death of Emily Masterson. I saw one of the gray ones while I was out for a run yesterday. I ran right at them, but when I got there, it was just a woman talking on the phone. But I know it wasn't. Was it? Am I losing my mind? I haven't slept in 2 days. I just... That's where it cuts off. It looks like Yumiko's research into video game mortality had led her deep into rabbits and the question of Hazel. I took a serious look into everything surrounding the death of Emily Masterson, but there really wasn't much there. Her family hadn't heard from her for a few years at the time of her death. She was considered something of an outsider, didn't have a lot of close friends. Her death in small-town England in 1998 was barely reported. I've placed calls to everybody and anybody I could find who knew Emily Masterson. I'm still waiting to hear back. In the meantime, I needed to consider the possibility of a trip to Alaska to find out if there was anything waiting for me in Arcadia. Jones indicated the information on Arcadia was mostly speculation and patchy guesswork. The location, if it existed at all, appeared to be a mystery. Jones believed that it was real, and that he'd been in contact with people who had seen it. He told me that most of the chatter surrounding Arcadia involved the aforementioned UFO abduction site stuff and native burial ground theories. Allegedly, according to a discussion about the Prescott competition manifesto in a deep web forum in 2011, players from 2, 4, and 5 had found markers or clues in a chest hidden in Arcadia. Important clues that allowed each of them to take a significant step forward in the game. I spoke with my friend Nick about taking a trip up north.
You're going where?
To the Tongass National Forest.
And that's in Alaska?
Mm-hmm.
Alaska.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I need to find some place called the Garden of Arcadia. It's supposed to be located in a part of the forest just north of Juneau.
Okay, what makes you think this Garden of Arcadia has anything to do with Yumiko's disappearance?
Okay, so although he told me that Arcadia is considered a relic from earlier incarnations of the game, Jones believes that our uncovering the information on that recording, how and when we did, is consistent with what might be considered a marker in the game.
Okay.
Like a signpost, indications a player should probably follow.
Right, so basically a hunch.
Basically.
Okay. So how deep into this thing are you?
I'm not sure.
And this Jones, he told you to go up there to Alaska?
Well, He told me not to, actually.
Is he going with you?
No.
You know Alaska is far.
Is it?
And cold.
Yes, I know.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah, I'll pack a sweater. I used my air miles and booked a flight to Juneau, Alaska. When I stepped out of the airport, Jones was standing there, holding a sign with a picture of Bugs Bunny glued to it. Funny. A few yards away, an old red Plymouth Reliant sat idling. I started recording, using my phone's voice recorder. What are you doing here?
Here at the airport?
Funny.
I came up yesterday. Visit a friend.
Jones.
It's one thing if they come for you in a crowded city street. It's another thing if you're alone in the middle of the woods of Alaska. Are you recording?
Yes. Is that your car?
It's Cleopatra's.
Is she the one staring at us?
Yeah, that's her.
Is she a player?
Yes, I mean, she was.
She lives up here?
There are participants all over the world.
And that one's name is Cleopatra?
Cleo, yes. She's going to take us to Arcadia.
How far is it?
About 35 miles.
Cleo's driving?
Oh, and Cleo suffers from aphonia.
What's that?
She's unable to speak. So we're going to be communicating through American Sign Language.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Cleo was small, short, with frizzy yellow hair. Not blonde. Yellow. She wore horn-rimmed glasses, a navy suit jacket that was too small, and a cream-colored men's tie. Although she was extremely fast when signing with her hands, Jones seemed to have no problem keeping up.
Cleo's wondering if you've been to Alaska before.
Should she be doing all that signing while she's driving? I've never been up here before.
Oh, she wants to know if you know how to drive stick. You know, manual transmission.
Thank you. I know what drive stick means. And yes, my dad made me learn on a standard transmission when I was 15. What's she saying?
She says you can't trust anybody who can't drive stick.
We drove for 35 miles through some of the most beautiful country I've ever seen. Mountains, trees, streams, lots of deer and moose. We pulled over a few times to enjoy the view. It was incredibly peaceful and quiet. We checked into the hotel. Jones had booked us each a room. I told him I'd be paying for my own, but he'd already taken care of it. So I told him I was buying dinner and drinks. We agreed to meet later, in the bar across the street.
This place is great.
I'll bet they don't hear that a lot.
They have shuffleboard. We're playing.
Okay, but first, burgers and a drink? I'm starved.
Absolutely burgers. And then, shuffleboard is happening.
Are you still recording?
Oh, yeah.
We did end up playing shuffleboard. We each won 2 games. We also each had a few more than 2 drinks. I was in my room recording some notes for my narration when Jones knocked on the door. He wanted to talk.
I come bearing wine.
I accept wine of the red variety.
Then we're in good shape. Plus, it's a twist top.
Great. I think we've got some fine plastic glasses in the bathroom.
Oh, good. Nothing but the best.
Hey, should they still be called glasses if they're plastic?
Good question. Cups, maybe?
You know, cups sounds right.
I had no idea at the time that I'd left my recorder running. Jones and I spoke about a lot of things. Music, video games, a bunch of television. Turns out we're both huge Doctor Who and Mystery Science Theater 3000 fans. I wanted to talk about so many things. My parents' death certificates. The names on the circle. The Hazel dossier. Yumiko's theory about Hazel as murderer. The reason Hazel, whoever they were, dropped out of the game just before they were about to win. The character associated with the image of a scary rabbit accompanied by the phrase, "I want the future we were promised, not the future we deserve." But it turns out that Jones had something else he wanted to discuss.
Your mother had you institutionalized when you were a kid.
Here at the Public Radio Alliance, we send a lot of correspondence, and we signed up for Stamps.com because we wanted to save money, of course, but more importantly, we wanted to save time. Stamps.com is convenient, easy, reliable, and flexible. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. With Stamps.com, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. Unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. Print postage for letters or packages at your convenience, 24/7. So, whether you're sending out menus for your new conspiracy-related restaurant called the Grassy Knoll Roll, or you're sending fan mail to your favorite podcast, you know, the podcast about that strange ancient game with the enigmatic name, you need to save time and money. You need Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use the promo code RABBITS for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage, and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Get started with Stamps.com today, and within minutes, you'll be printing postage right from your desk. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in RABBITS. That's Stamps.com, enter RABBITS. With Stamps.com, you'll never have to go to the post office again. Whether you're running from library to library, chasing down clues to an ancient game, or running your first half marathon, you need socks. You need Bombas socks. Bombas socks are highly functional, fashionable, and philanthropic athletic leisure socks. We love our Bombas, and you're going to love yours. For every pair of socks sold, Bombas donates a pair to those in need. One pair purchased equals one pair donated, and so far, they've donated more than 2 million pairs. So let's help them get to 3 million. Along with Bombas' already classic lineup of amazing socks, they now have dress socks and invisible, no-show socks for spring. Bombas are like nothing else on the market, built for both athletic performance and extreme leisure. These are advanced socks that look and feel amazing. Visit bombas.com/rabbits to get 20% off your first order. These are exceptionally well-made socks. I just received my first order, and my feet don't want me to wear anything else. That's bombas.com/rabbits to get 20% off your first order of Bombas socks.
Your mother had you institutionalized when you were a kid.
How do you know that? Why do you know that?
I just know it.
Oh, you just know it, do you?
I had something similar happen to me.
Really? You were institutionalized by your parents?
I was thrown away by my parents.
Same thing.
I understand what it's like. It was something you remembered. Like a dream that was absolutely real, wasn't it?
How do you know that?
What was it?
How do you know that?
I experienced the same thing.
I had a memory.
A memory of an event that nobody believed happened.
How do you know?
What happened? In your memory.
It was the swimming pool.
What happened? The swimming pool.
My brother was the only one who said he believed me. But I'm not sure he actually did.
Okay. Can you tell me what happened? Please.
I was walking with my father down to the public swimming pool on the other side of town. Our neighborhood pool had been drained, so my father took me to this other one. I was 9 years old. I remember holding his hand, and I remember holding my other hand up to my eyes to block out the late afternoon sun. The pool was packed full of families playing together, laughing, splashing. Some song by the Beach Boys or somebody else played from speakers somewhere. We were about halfway down the hill when I saw the lifeguard. He was tall, hunched over, with dark curly hair.
What was he doing?
Well, he'd stepped down from his chair and he slowly approached the edge of the pool. After looking at the kids in the pool for a moment, he turned back and picked something up from a small case beneath the base of the ladder leading up to his chair. Something that appeared to be a pair of scuba tanks. He slipped the tanks onto his back and pulled out a hose that was connected to the apparatus. And that's when he started spraying the pool, like he was treating it somehow. There were dozens of children in the pool splashing and having fun. After spraying the pool, the lifeguard pulled something out of his pocket, turned his head, and looked right into my eyes. I could see him. All of the calm, pure hate as he held up the thing he pulled from his pocket. It was a Zippo lighter. He stared at me for a long moment before he turned back to the pool. At this point, I noticed the families in the pool were no longer having fun. They were confused and panicky. At this point, the lifeguard sparked the Zippo and tossed it into the pool. As the flames engulfed the top of the water, my father turned to me and yelled, "Don't look, Carly," before he ran down the hill toward the pool, the lifeguard, and the screaming. I can still hear the sounds.
That's terrible.
I don't remember anything after that. Well, the next thing I remember, we were at home. I was exhausted, so I went up to my room and fell asleep. The next day, I couldn't understand why nobody was talking about it. I wanted to know if the lifeguard had been arrested and what had happened to those families in the pool, to those children, but nobody was talking about it. I assumed that the horrific nature of that spectacle was just too awful for adults, or anyone, to talk about so soon. So, I decided I wouldn't talk about it right away either. And that was hard. It was all I could think about. All I could see when I closed my eyes. I didn't sleep. I cried a lot, out of nowhere. I did eventually bring it up with my parents. And they told me to stop making things up. I screamed at them. I told them it was real. I told them to take me back to the pool, but my father told me he'd never taken me to a pool other than the one near our house. I snapped. I started banging my head against the walls constantly, holding my breath until I passed out. I was a mess. I was institutionalized shortly after. And that was that. the incident at the pool didn't happen. I made it up.
Do you believe you made it up?
You know, I looked it up. At least once a year. Usually more. I went to libraries. I checked online. It looked like my parents and everybody else was right. The world of newspapers and microfiche told me that this thing that I remember so clearly never happened.
Do you believe it happened?
It happened. I know it happened. I don't know why my father acted like it didn't. It was as if he'd wiped it from his mind completely. But it's something that I'll never forget. I always imagined a conspiracy of some kind, or that the reports had just been lost somehow, that they were out there somewhere and I just hadn't found them yet.
And you're sure this happened?
I'm positive.
You know, they say children often create false memories to cover other trauma.
This isn't that.
In false memory syndrome, one of these memories can considerably influence a person's life.
It happened. It's the sound that I'll never forget. The screaming. I remember thinking, even as a kid, that sound existing in the world changed something. Changed the world forever. The very fact of that sound's existence. It's okay if you don't believe me.
I believe you.
Why?
Because something similar happened to me.
What happened?
Something they told me didn't happen. See, I was also sent away for something I believed that the rest of the world didn't.
What was it?
I'll tell you about it soon, I promise. Just not now.
So, Jones experienced something similar. A perfectly clear memory of an event that others say didn't happen. He told me he was going to tell me about it later. You can bet, and I'm not going to let him forget that promise. In other news, he'd been listening to the Marigold tapes nonstop. He brought one along with him.
Okay, this is probably going to sound more than a little crazy. At first.
I think I'm getting used to crazy.
Okay.
Up next on Weekend Theater, we're going to look into how one young woman can find her missing friend. Parker's friend has gone missing, and she's going to have to solve a handful of mysteries to find her. If you enjoy solving puzzles and playing games, tune in to the You and Me Company right after this brief message from our sponsors.
What was that?
That was strange.
Jones, if this is some kind of a joke or something, it isn't funny.
It's nothing like that. Listen to the first commercial.
You spend a lot of time at home. Your home is your castle. That's why you should protect it with Lighthouse Security. For peace of mind and safety, come to the Lighthouse. Lighthouse Security. Protect your peace of the world and protect your peace of mind. Come to the Lighthouse.
A woman named Parker. A mystery. Games. Puzzles. The Lighthouse.
It's a pretty wild coincidence.
You and Me Company. You, Me, Co. Has to be Yumiko.
This recording is decades old.
So, maybe it's a fake.
Mm-hmm. I've had it authenticated.
But that's not 100%, right?
I suppose not 100%, but these guys are pretty good at this stuff. They do some contract work for the NSA.
We need to look into the lighthouse security company.
There's something else.
What? Jones pulled out his computer and opened a Tor browser. Once on the darknet, he showed me a website, an invitation-only forum on internet mysteries and conspiracies. He posted something last week in a section called Ask Me Anything About Mysteries Anytime, AMAMA. His question was simple. My friend's friend has gone missing playing nine. Any help? He received a reply in 30 seconds. Marigold, 4564.1234. Somebody knows we're looking into the Marigold recordings?
That's not unusual if you're playing rabbits.
But something's unusual.
Yes.
What?
4564.
What about it?
April 5th, 1964.
And 1234?
1234.
I don't get it.
The Marigold recording I just played you was from April 5th, 1964, at exactly 34 minutes past noon.
Either somebody had gone to a whole lot of trouble to reverse engineer a clue to my present situation that matched a radio broadcast from the 60s, Jones was messing with me in a serious way, or I can't even begin to consider the third possibility, can I? That somehow Jones asked a question in the present, and we received an answer from the past. It's Rabbits. I'm Carly Parker. We'll be back again in 2 weeks. Until next time, stay safe. If you enjoy Rabbits, you'll love our other podcast, Tanis. Tanis is a docudrama about an ancient and mysterious myth, perhaps the last genuine mystery of the information age. Download the podcast The Guardian calls compelling and wildly addictive at itunes.com/Tanis or tanispodcast.com. Tanis, it's television for your ears.
The Black Tapes is a serialized docudrama about one journalist's search for the truth, her enigmatic subject's mysterious past, and the literal and figurative ghosts that haunt them both. Subscribe to The Black Tapes by visiting theblacktapes.com or itunes.com/theblacktapes.
Rabbits is a Public Radio Alliance and Minnow Beats Whale production. Produced by Hollis Adams Lane. Produced, mixed, and edited by Terry Miles and Carly Parker. Additional editorial and production assistance by Morgan Stevens. Associate producers Tara Pratt and Bailey Everett. Producer Emeritus Mackenzie Howard. Executive producers Terry Miles and Hollis Adams Lane. You can support Rabbits by visiting our website at rabbitspodcast.com and clicking on support in the top right corner. If you enjoy Rabbits, please rate and especially review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you found us. Reviews are key to keeping Rabbits on the charts where people can find our show. Thank you so much for listening to Rabbits. For legal and safety reasons, we've elected to change some names and leave others out entirely. We don't do this very often, but we're not willing to compromise people's safety for any reason. Thanks again for listening to Rabbits.